for our musicians and singers. Just before we do, does anyone have a quick praise report? Time for us to observe the Lord's table. So great testimonies too, really, really great testimonies. So I just want to just explain a couple of things about Genesis that I pray will help us as we go through the week. So if you look at Genesis, just for a couple minutes, look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And I just want to leave a few thoughts, and then we'll observe the Lord's table, sing doxology, and we'll call it a day. Here's what it says, New American Standard, 1995 update. Then God said, let us. Here's what I want you to notice, at least in the NASB. It says, let us, capital U, make man in our image, capital O for R, according to our likeness, capital O. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Let me go back to that one more time. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Those three pronouns are all plural. They're plural pronouns. And since they're capitalized, they're proper pronouns. Remember that in grammar school, English literature, English grammar? Okay, so that means God is talking about him, and we know from studying the rest of scripture that God here is talking about three individuals. He's talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God in his triune sovereignty created heavens and earth in the very beginning. And so the title of this whole series has been Jesus in Genesis. So Jesus was before creation. Jesus was in creation. And Jesus was active post-creation. And you might ask, Pastor Will, why in 2024? When there's wars everywhere, there's a Ukraine war, there's Hamas war, there's Israeli and Hezbollah war, there's wars in Venezuela I was reading about, there's all kinds of things going on. Assassinations, there's been three assassinations in the last 2 weeks. Did you guys know that? I know we had a near assassination here in the US, but there was an assassination of a Hamas leader. He was in Iran, and then there was another assassination of a leader that was in Lebanon. A lot of killing, a lot of leadership shifts going on, a lot of things going on in the world. Why then, Pastor Will, would you be talking to us about Genesis, a book that's arguably between 6 and 10,000 years old? Here's the reason why. In Genesis, in this book, in these chapters and verses that we've been studying now for the last 16 to 20 weeks, there's important information that tells us about how to live now. And here's one of the most important things. Hebrews, the writer of the Hebrews says this. Stick with me, I'm gonna be very short this morning. Hebrews 1:1, it says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, I would think it's safe to say that these are last days, wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, which are plagues, the whole nine yards. And in these portions, in many ways, in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, capital H, capital S, another proper pronoun, whom he appointed heir of all things. Watch this, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. And he, Jesus, upholds all things by the word of his power. So you say, Pastor Will, why are you teaching us about Genesis? Why are you telling us about something that is millennial old? And how has it helped me in my day-to-day life? And I'll tell you why this is important and why you should read and go back through these notes and through these texts that we've studied on Genesis, because Jesus was there then, he is here now. That's why it's important. That's why we study God's word. That's why. Because the Lord Jesus himself assures us, listen, I was there. He was there then, he's here now. He's always with us. He said he will never leave us or forsake us. And I think the one thing that we as believers need to always know, regardless of what else is going on in the world, all the wars, all the assassinations, all the elections, all the hatred, all the movements, all the riots and violence, God is here. He is here for us. Like the commercial says, Jesus gets us. I'll take it a step further. Jesus knows us, and he's here for us. Amen? He doesn't just get us. He's here for us. It's one thing to get somebody. I dig it that you get me. But do you help? Are you able to help me? Do you have my back? Are you supporting me, right? That's what I love about the Lord, that he's not only does he understands us, he is there for us. He has been there. He was there. He is. I love what the Lord says in the book of John. This is a really amazing verse. We've quoted it and talked about it before. This is when the disciples, actually the Pharisees, were trying to trip Jesus up and get him in some trouble and try to make fun of him or pressure him. And he was talking to them about his existence. And he made this amazing statement. And I'm looking for it here in my notes. I believe it was in John 8. But I'm going to quote it anyway, even if I don't find it, but I'll tell you what it says. And that was when Jesus was, actually it's in John 8:58, here it is. They were talking about him like, you're not greater than our father Abraham. And Jesus made this amazing statement. He said, before Abraham was, I was. Is that what he said? Well, wait a minute. Did he say before Abraham was, I existed? Okay, let me think about it. Did he say before Abraham was, I was there too? No, he didn't. No. Jesus made this profound statement. It breaks all the grammatical rules. It breaks all the rules of proper English, but it's so appropriate, and it hit that nail right on the head. He said in John 8:58, before Abraham was, I am. I am one of the great seven I ams in the book of John, the Gospel of John. And here's what he was saying. He was saying, like, there is no beginning or end for me. I don't have an origin. I don't have a point of reference that you can go back and say, this is where Jesus started. He is God incarnate. He didn't have to refer to himself as I was there. He still is. I am means that he's eternally omnipresent. You all with me? He's eternally omnipresent. He's here now. He was there then, and he will be in the future. He's already in the future. We're not, watch this. We're not in the future. We're not even in tomorrow. We're not even in this afternoon. But God is already there. He is existing. This is mind-boggling because it breaks the whole time-space continuum idea that we have scientifically. We haven't even seen what the next hour is. Jesus is already living in the future. He's living in the future. He's existing, present, there for us. We don't know what's going to happen, but he already knows what's going to happen. And he's already there for us, looking out for us preemptively, proactively. Amen? So Jesus was there pre-creation. Jude 1:24 says, before all time and now and forever, Jesus Christ existed, in Jude 1:25. Listen to this, Colossians 1. I'm wrapping it up. I'm giving you these verses rapid fire because they should be in our notes for you. The Lord said to Paul when he wrote on the direction of the Holy Spirit in Colossians 1, he says, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him, capital H, all things hold together. and he is the beginning. That is Jesus. Listen to this in John 17, 5. He says, "Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you." Watch this. "Before the world was." When the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, when the Mormons come to your door, they may not come to your door, but when people talk to you and they try to tell you that Jesus was just a good man, a prophet, Michael the archangel, or any other thing that diminishes his status as being God, you let them know what the Bible says, that he is now. He was there at creation. He was there before creation. According to John 17, he existed before the world was. According to Colossians 1, he's still holding all things up by the power of his word. I was going to share with you guys, and I won't do it because I said this will be short and for lack of time, but I wanted to go through some of those questions that I've done before in the book of Job. You guys can do it in your spare time. You read Job, not the whole book. It's 40 chapters, 42 chapters. Just read chapters 38, 39, 40, and 41. Four chapters. You can read it in 25 minutes. Maybe you can read it in 45 minutes. But if you read those four chapters, it's just four killer chapters where God told Job, step up to the plate, put on your big boy pants, and let me ask you some questions. Because Job was complaining, said, I can't wait to tell God. I got some things for God. I want to talk to God about some things. I got some issues. I got a bone to pick with you, Lord. That's basically what Job was saying in 2024 parlance. But God said, oh, you got questions for me? Cool. Guess what? I got questions for you. Where were you when I parted the seas? Where were you when I created the hippopotamus? Do you know where darkness goes when the light comes? All these amazing questions, most of which still have no scientific answer today because God is God, right? But the point that God was making with Job is, dude, you need to stay in your lane because this is above your pay grade. What I'm talking about here, what I'm doing, you don't know. You don't understand this. But I understand it. And our job is just to trust him. We don't need to understand everything. Matter of fact, Brother Coach, he doesn't know this, but I was paying attention a few Wednesdays ago, several Wednesdays ago, a question that Coach asked that might have been lost on some of us, but it stuck with me. And someone was talking about some things in the lesson, and Coach said, you know, it would be nice to know, like, what things really matter. What's really critical to salvation? Remember you brought that up, Coach? What things really matter? What are the most important core issues that we really need to know? And I thought about that for days. Days turned into weeks. So starting September, I'm doing a series on what really matters most. Tony Evans wrote a book on what matters most. I saw there are several books out there on things that matter most, but I don't want to get into all the theology and all the philosophy and all of the analytics of things that allegedly matter most. I just want to focus in on just a few things that will get us to heaven. Amen. Isn't that really what it's all about? We're just trying to get out of here with salvation intact so that we can see the Lord's face in peace and hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Isn't that really what we're trying to do? At the end of the day, when you boil everything down to its most common denominator, really all we're trying to do is figure out how to get to heaven, how to not make this how the story ends, how to not make this our best life now, how not to make this the end of the line. We're trying to figure out how can we bridge the gap between death and eternity, and that's by knowing Jesus. Amen. Although I have to admit, and I'm done. I have to admit, I love this song that Andre Crouch wrote, and I refer to it every so often. The title of the song is "If Heaven Was Never Promised to Me," and the thesis of the song, what Andre wrote about the late great Andre Crouch, who I still think was probably one of the greatest gospel writers and musicians of all time, but that's just me being prejudiced. He said in the song, if heaven never was promised to me, neither God's gift to live eternally. Let me pause. I'm not pausing because I forgot the words. I'm pausing because I'm trying not to cry. Now I do need the words. It's been right. See, it's been worth. So let me just start over. If heaven never was promised to me, neither God's gift to live eternally, it's been worth just having the Lord in my life. Living in a world of darkness, he brought us the light. And here's the key. Here's what I love about those lyrics. He said that even if we don't get to heaven, even if there is no eternal life, would you trade the life you have now for anything else? Knowing what God has already done for us, right? Knowing what God has already done for us, isn't it worth it just having the Lord in our lives right now? But it gets so much better. Eye have not seen, ear have not heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man what God has in store for us. But he's revealed it through his word. So you know what? What is so great is that it gets better than this. The best is yet to come. It does get better. But I'm just so thankful for what God is doing for us right now. Just listening to you guys' testimonies, I know God is up to something good. Amen. Amen. If God can get a dog to listen to Justin, what else can he do? No, just kidding, Justin. I mean, that is just a, that was a great testimony. That was a great sermon. I just know God is always up to something good. Amen. I just love it. Elders, come on, let's take the Lord's table. God is so good. Let's give the Lord a hand clap.